Greetings, good afternoon to everybody. I'm a little tired this afternoon, so I appreciate all the singing. Now I can just do a short TED talk and be out of here, right? Anyway, sometimes we're tired. This morning I'm tired, so afternoon. And I'm reminded that sometimes when we are weak, we are strong, because he can work through us, and sometimes we're a little bit more open to his spirit. I was had my phone this morning, and I thought I heard this like little sound going off, and I was like, no, there's like the radio on. I'm like, there's no sound going off, and just kept kind of hearing the sound. So I pulled up my phone, and it's like, there's a sound coming from my phone. It was like opera music, and I was like, well, how could that be? So you go through, and I'm trying to close all the apps. I closed all the apps, and it's still opera music just coming out of my phone. And so I went to, you know, the setup, and I was like trying to figure it out. So I tried to turn the volume down, and my phone was still making sound. So finally I turned it off. That did work, and the sound just went away, and then I turned it back on, which you do. You know, in the tech world, that's how you fix everything, right? Turn it off and then turn it back on. And, you know, sometimes there's unexpected things that just happen, and they come about, and I'm here this morning, and I'm tired, or this afternoon, I'm tired. But, you know, you come around the Word, and you pick this Bible up, and you want to listen to it. You want to hear what it's got to say, because there's unexpected things that are going to come out. There's things that we don't expect. The Lord meets us sometimes right where we need to be met. And I was just thinking of this story. So Bob was talking to us last night, and it was just so blessed that we got to hear Bob and Miguel. Am I saying that right? To give us their testimonies. And it's just so powerful when you hear someone's testimony. The reason, you know, our belief in God is confirmed. And they're real stories, people's stories. And Bob was telling us this story, and he said, hey, we went to stay with another family, and it was for an extended period of time. He didn't tell us how long. And there was a young girl in the house, and she would sing gospel songs, and he heard those all the time he was staying there. And those songs and the way she sang was just so beautiful, and it just made him think. And he said, I went back, and I had to go to high school the next day, and I couldn't even go to school. I was just so convicted. And at that moment, he became a Christian. And boy, isn't that an unexpected blessing, right? At first you hear the singing, and you've got this angel singing to you and ministering to you. And does the girl even know that he can hear the songs in the next room that she's singing? And what a blessing it is. The Lord meets us in these unexpected moments, and it's such a blessing. It's why we're here. It's why we continue to come back to him. It's this relationship. It's this one-on-one. And I just thought it would be appropriate that we read in Acts. Just, you know, thinking of the evangelism, and just thinking of Bob and Miguel, and hearing some of the interaction today. And, you know, sometimes we think it's just so hard, right? The gospel is so hard. It's just so complex. I need my Strong's Concordance, and I need a this, and I need a that. And when you're just hearing the simple play on words this morning, I'm reminded of how simple the gospel really is, and what better place to hear that than in Acts. And, you know, just think about Bob being out in, was it New Guinea for, did he say just a short little while, 35 years? Amazing. Sometimes the gospel is just so simple. Last night, Bob also quoted St. Francis of Assisi. He said, you know, I'm going to paraphrase, tell the story of the gospel everywhere you go, and if necessary, use words. And so it's just it's an uplifting moment for us to think about that, is our lives, our actions, everything is kind of out there. So I've opened into Acts here, and let's go to 11. Acts 11. And I'll just wait for you guys to get there. And the apostles and the brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter was come to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him, saying, Thou wentest into men uncircumcised and did eat with them. And Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them, saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and it was a trance. I saw a vision. A certain vessel descended, as it had been a great sheet, let down from heaven by four corners, and it came even to me. Upon the which, when I had fastened mine eyes, I considered, and I saw four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And I heard a voice saying unto me, Arise, Peter, slay and eat. But I said, Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean hath any time entered into my mouth. But the voice answered me again from heaven, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. And this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. And behold, immediately there were three men already come into the house where I was sent from Caesarea unto me. And I just want to stop here. Let's just think about this for a moment. I love this verse 9, right? Because, but the voice answered me again from heaven and said, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. And when I think of Gentiles and I think of us as lost, and I love that verse because Jesus, God is saying here is that I will cleanse you. He's willing to cleanse us, even though we're dirty, even though we aren't deserving. He's willing to do that. And not only is he willing, but he wants to do that. And as we go through this story, I was hoping something from the law would come up because I was struck by what Greg said last Sunday. Did you guys enjoy that? Are you enjoying this series on love? And we're getting into it, love in Upreach. And so I was just really struck by what Greg said. He said something, I hadn't quite heard it said that way, or I don't remember hearing it. But he said that in Galatians, which the whole book of Galatians means be free, that we are free from the law in Galatians. But why did he say that we're free? We're free from the law, the ticky-tack, the idea that, hey, I can follow these 10 things and I'm all good. We're freed from that so that we can pursue this love relationship with God that is a real and true relationship. So that what? So that we can in turn go and follow the law. Isn't that just an interesting way to look at it and to think about it? Is that we can't change who we are. We can't change some of the facts and the things that are out there. But in love, all of this works out. But you can have the law with no love and then it doesn't work out. And so love is that key, and it's that key in this thing. And it's the key here that we're just seeing acted out right here in Acts. Right? Because Peter's sitting here and he's saying, Whoa, Lord, unclean food. These Gentiles, unclean, uncircumcised. You know, we can't do this. And the Lord is saying, No. We can do this. We can do this. Go to them, love them, listen to them, interact with them, and in that you will be fulfilling a greater law than the law of just these things about what to eat. And it's just, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful story. And so, I love sometimes how the Lord calls us, right? So Peter's getting this kind of theological explanation. He's in church here, right? And he's in university. He's in Jesus University here, and he's teaching him how this works. And he didn't give him time to think about it. He said, and behold, immediately, there were three men already come into the house where I was sent from Caesarea unto me, and the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house, and he shewed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, Send men to Joppa, and call for Simon, whose surname was Peter, who shall tell you these words, whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. And then I remembered the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For so much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. What was I that I could withstand God? And when he heard these things, they held their peace and they glorified God, saying then, hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Wow, what a story. And I think that the gospel story is just so beautiful. It's simple. And last night Bob was also telling us about how churches are planted. And he says they're planted in the Word. So the number one thing you need to do when you plant a church, he was saying, is you need to go and you need to read the Word. And that's what we see here, is that they're not necessarily just going out and being intellectual or being smart or having some great strategy. They're just going out and they're just testifying to what they've heard and just to what they've seen, right? They're just repeating here in the red letters, right? John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. They're just repeating this simple story and how it's related to them and their lives. And that's how the gospel grew and that's how it spread. And I'm wondering if we should just keep going here or stop. Why don't we stop? I'd like us to sing in my weakened state here one of my favorite songs, which when I hear of people being saved in the Acts, I think of this song, 210, Whiter Than Snow. Such a beautiful, beautiful song. I long to be perfectly whole. I want thee forever to live in my soul. Break down every idol, cast out every foe. Now wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. What could be better than that?
Now what?
Let us kneel in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you. We come on bended knee, Lord. We love you because you first loved us. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. We think back over your idea for creation, that you created us, that you breathed life into us. Lord, that you gave us so much in the beginning, and yet we chose some of the wrong decisions. And Lord, we are so thankful that you chased after us, that you loved us, that you continued to seek us, that you found a way that we could someday return again unto you, holy and perfect, as white and clear from sin as snow, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you have the ability to forgive sin, that you have said that you can separate sin from us as far as the east is from the west, Lord. That you have sent your Holy Spirit to be with us this morning. It was mentioned that sometimes the Holy Spirit is the forgotten part of God, Lord, that we pray that you and your Spirit would enter into us, that it would change us, that it would make us more like you, Lord, that we could carry your holy water, that we could carry it with conviction, with respect, and with honor, Lord, that we could share this good news with those around us. We know, Lord, sometimes it's just in the doing, and then sometimes it's less in the thinking and the worrying about our current status and where it is that we live and who it is that we are, Lord, and that we could count ourselves as fools for you, of those that have nothing to hide, nothing to win, nothing to lose, but merely to be a reflection of you, Lord, and all that we do around us. We just thank you for all the hands and feet and the heads and the eyes and all of the parts that make this church a church, Lord. Help us to always be a church where you are welcome, Lord, where you are welcome to come and to lead us and to guide us in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's keep reading about Barnabas here in Antioch in verse 19. Now they were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose from Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenice, I think of Venice when I read that, and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none, but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which, when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, and he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and he had seen the grace of God was glad, and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they might cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost of faith, and much people were added unto the Lord. They then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when they found him, he brought him to Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. And in those days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. You know, it's an interesting time in history, if you go back to just think about the time. There's always been these counterweights in the world, right? There's Rome, and then there was the King Carthage was south of them. There was Parthia that was to the east of them. And there was this waging war going on in that time, in that part of the world. And at the point when Jesus came, it was just, there was peace. There was just a peace. And when there's peace, the first thing that happens is commerce opens up and roads and people travel. And it's almost like the Lord just kind of opened up this time here when all these people could just travel and they could tell the word of God. They could tell this great story and they could get out on the road, and you could get a lot of places that sometimes in a state of war you can't necessarily travel as easily because you might be fearing for your life. Or in a state of war, there's also lots of shortages. There's shortages of food and resources as things are committed. And so there's kind of this time of peace here that hadn't been before and wasn't going to be afterwards as prevalent. And that in itself is a miracle, that the peace was there so that the word of Jesus and the stories of what happened with him could be passed out. But I like this in that you get the sense when you're reading through Acts that it's if you like adventure, this is a good book, right? You know, because it's a sense that they just kind of go and they're just reacting to what happens, and then they go again and they go and they just keep going here. And you know, they're just unafraid, aren't they? There's nothing really to slow them down. They're just unafraid, and they're going and they're doing. And I wonder how we think about that, because today, sometimes, you know, in some ways, modern life has gotten a little stale. You know, you go talk to a 21-year-old coming out of college, and like, oh, I got a plan for retirement, and you know, I got 401ks I got to invest in, and it'll just take me 35 years to pay off my house. That's it. I just need to pay monthly payments for 30 to 30. Wait, in California now I have a friend of mine, he has a loan, and it's a 40-year loan. It's a 0% interest 40-year loan because he has that right, because he lives in California, right? It's too hard to live there. You know, we tend to, you know, picture how many kids we're going to have when we're younger. Like, no. I'm asking my girls, you know, they're like, oh, no. How many kids are you going to have, you know? Well, Kosi says it's 9 she's going to have. So don't, if there's any guys out there, you know, stay away. but, you know, our life is so pre-prescribed, and we think about, oh, I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to go to college, and then I'm going to do that. And I think the gospel is telling us sometimes, like, I just want to be connected to you, Lord. I just, whatever it is that you have planned for me, if I'm in your will and I'm following you, it's going to be great. It's going to be better than I even imagined. And I think that's where we get caught in between this, you know, Lord, it's either your will or it's my will. And that's the battle we have going on between us, and that's the battle that's going on. And it was just so refreshing last night just to hear Bob talk, because you could tell the Lord was leading him in his life. He just was there, and you're sitting here and you're thinking about these stories and where he went and what he did, and he's here today. You can go talk to him. He's in talking with the young people today, right? You know, you get a sense that God's people aren't too attached to this world. But it's so easy. We can get so attached, can't we? My 30-year mortgage, and you can sit around, you get your calculator out, and like, okay, well, what if I pay 15% more? What if I do this? What if I do that? And we think in these long terms. And I think there's verses in here where I'm thinking of the verse of the build bigger barns, and he's saying, you know, don't be a fool. You might not even be here when your bigger barns are put up, and that we need to live for today. And sometimes living for today is being a little bit more foolish, is giving a little bit more away, is taking more risk. It's interesting. I was reading a study that young people today aren't taking many risks. And they're missing out. They're missing out in this. And you look, I have a friend of mine, a mentor of mine that I go back and I talk to frequently. I go meet with him, and he always tells me this is the greatest time ever in terms of all the things that are available to us. The tremendous wealth in this country, the food, the opportunity, the freedom. We have a freedom that's unseen and unheard of in much of history. And some of that's at risk right now, as it always has been, but you live in this great, great time. You live in this great, great time when so much is possible. You look at just social media and the platforms and the things that can be done, the way that the gospel story can be told. We live in this greatest time when anything can be done. And what you have to do is you just have to be willing to risk something. Sometimes it's your reputation that you have to risk. Sometimes it's your fortune. Sometimes it could just be anything. It could be your relationships that are you have to risk. But these men and women in Acts were willing to risk everything to go tell this story. So much so that the disciples themselves all died. Right? I mean, we tend to forget that these guys here, their days are numbered. These days are numbered. And I just think, you know, maybe we just need to take more risks. And I don't want to push that too far to the side to say that we shouldn't wait on the patience of the Lord either. I'm not necessarily trying to stand up here and give you false theological teaching. I'm not trying to guide you somewhere the scripture itself doesn't lead. But, you know, this story in Acts, if you let it, it kind of sinks into you and it changes you. It gives you a different perspective. And I don't know what's going to happen next. I don't know what's going to be around the next corner. I don't know where things are going. But I know when the Lord's with me, it's going to be all right. It's going to be great. I love it when Paul says, I can both abound and abase. I can live in the palace and I can live in the alley. I can have the best of friends and I can have no friends. I can do all things, Lord, through you when you are in me and when you are guiding me and when you're a part of it. And I just ask all of us, let's do that today. Let's reinvite the Lord into our hearts on Sunday. Let's invite him in. Let's open the doors. And it's a little scary. To love someone is scary because the moment you love someone or something, you're losing a little bit of your own self-determinism. And let's love the Lord with abandon. Let's be willing to give some things up. Let's be willing to trim some things back. Let's be willing to change. And I see that in Bob coming to visit with us, and I see it, and it is inspiring to me. And old dogs can learn new tricks. Young dogs can learn new tricks. Every one of us can learn new things. And let's expect the unexpected. Your phone could just start playing opera music. I'm telling you, it's true. We don't know what's around the next corner, but let's expect the best in the Lord, and he will guide us.
Well, amen. He will guide us, and his hand will lead us, and we see the hand of the Lord again here. I know we've talked about in Acts how you see the how God sovereignly expands things. You know, starting in, I know Brother Ken mailed out this morning that in the verse in Acts 1:8 that the gospel starts from Jerusalem and expands out. That's exactly what you see here. It was the hand of the Lord expanding out. I mean, it was not these people didn't choose to be scattered. It was not their choice. It was the Lord's hand. You could see the Lord's hand working through this. And verse 19 says now that, and it's exactly what Brother Eric was talking about. Verse 19 says, now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution. You know, and it was that persecution expanded that out. You know, God uses those things in our lives to expand the gospel. He uses those things in our lives to, you know, just as you know, we be willing to give things up. These people, they were shoved out of Jerusalem, and they went out preaching the gospel. And it's a remarkable story. And you know, what was the result? Verse 21, a great number believed and turned to the Lord. I mean, that's kind of unexpected too, almost. You know, unexpected they get chased out. Unexpected that God blesses them. And then I think even more unexpected, who did they send? Who did they send to help? Well, they needed help. And verse 22, did you catch that? They sent forth Barnabas that he should go to Antioch and help. And then Barnabas was kind of overwhelmed. You get unexpected events then even with Barnabas. So what would Barnabas do? He goes to this growing church, and what does he do? I mean, he said, oh man, he says, you know, this is almost too much for me. What am I going to do? I mean, did all these unforeseen events. And look at verse 25. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus to seek for Saul. When he found him, he brought him to Antioch. And I mean, the whole thing grew. Just a lot of what Brother Eric was talking about. Just God using these circumstances in special ways. And he'll do that for us as we see here in the Gospels, in the Acts. And then it's kind of the crowning of that. Is verse 26, and the disciples were first called Christians. This is where they were first called Christians. You know, God worked all these details out, and here the church is expanding. So, I rest in the promise that God is sovereign, as Brother Eric said. I mean, He uses these things in our lives. I mean, we just don't understand. And we just can't figure these out, but he uses them to further the gospel. And we just need to be trusting, understanding that story. And again, as Brother Eric referred to, in the life of Brother Bob, that's very true, how God used some of these unexpected things. And I know it's been true in my life, and I think it's true in all of our lives. God used these unexpected things to advance the gospel. And it's a beautiful story. Ready to sing? Okay, let's. Why don't you announce a hymn and let's sing together.
Brothers, you know what to do. It's time to close the day in prayer.
Heavenly Father, we turn unto Thee again in this afternoon hour. We have been blessed today. I'm being taught this morning about Bible translations and hearing the word about Jesus this afternoon. Father, we are so thankful and pray that this word may be able to indwell within our hearts throughout this coming week. Father, we are thankful. We are thankful for this church, thankful that Thou dost provide a place for worship. Again, now we pray for those that are not able to be here, those that perhaps have to work, and those that may be sick. Father, wouldst Thou be with them again in this day also. Again, now, go with us further on throughout the remainder of this day. We are thankful and we are blessed. We praise all, thank Thee in all things in Jesus' name. Amen.